This is ThinkWhy Radio, and I'm Emmy DeGrappa. ThinkWhy Radio is brought to you by the Wyoming Humanities Council, expanding our horizons through critical and creative thinking. And today, we are talking to Lynn Sherwood. Welcome, Lynn.
Thanks so much for having me, Emmy.
Lynn Sherwood is NRA training counselor and instructor. She is also owner and operator of High Caliber Women and Jackson Hole Shooting Experience. So tell us your personal story and how you got into learning and loving the shooting experience, basically.
Absolutely. I actually had a personal experience as a teenager, and I developed a lifelong fear of guns. And I may sound like I'm 12 over the radio, but I'm actually 43, almost. I'm aging myself, I know. But a lifelong fear. And it dawned on me several years ago that it wasn't the gun that I was afraid of. It was the bad guy behind the gun. And as soon as I had this aha moment, I wanted to take a class to learn more about the parts of the gun, the parts of the pistol, the parts of the ammunition, how it all worked together. I'm a very analytical person, and I needed that knowledge, that education to be comfortable with it. And I was able to load dummy ammunition into real guns in a classroom before I actually took my shots. And about 6 hours into the class, we went out for our first shots on the range, on a live range, and I was shaking. Tears were just forming, and I couldn't speak. I was literally trembling, and I took my first shot, and I said, oh, that was kind of fun. And I took a second and third shot. I said, wow, I didn't shoot my toes. I didn't shoot the toes of the person next to me. I took more shots, and I just fell in love. I fell in love with it. It was so empowering. The gun itself isn't the empowering part. It's the mindset behind it. And I had worked through a fear, and it was really powerful. Within 2 weeks, I joined a falling plates competition, and not because I was any good, but because it's such a supportive environment, and people were willing to help. And I learned three different ways that I could grip the gun and take my stance, and it was still going to be okay. I could kind of find my way with really supportive people who were supporting me in what I wanted to do. And within 6 months, I became an instructor. I trained and I trained and I trained and became an instructor and developed this business with my husband. And now this is what we do. We share our passion with people.
Was your husband also into gun ownership?
He was. He grew up in the back hills of Tennessee, mm-hmm. plinking at Coke cans, and loved it. And he ultimately became a police officer in Orange County and then also here in Jackson. He was the sniper team leader here in Jackson and had several years on the police force and really developed that passion. And about 6 years ago, he had a friend ask him to take him out into the hills and teach him how to use his rifles better. And they did that for a few hours. And at the end of the conversation, the gentleman said, you know, you're really good at this. Have you ever thought about taking city slickers like me out? And we talked about it. And here we are 6 years later.
Oh, and that's how you started your business.
Yes. Yes.
So that was 6 years ago.
That was 6 years ago.
Tell me a little bit about your philosophy about gun ownership.
I think it's a huge responsibility. For me, gun ownership is about a healthy respect for the gun. And you might choose to do several things with your gun. You might choose to have it for personal protection in your home or in your car or on your body. You might choose to compete in competitions, in local or national competitions. You might choose to plink in Coke cans out in the woods when you go camping with your family in the summers. So there are a variety of reasons that you might want to own a gun. And it's different for everybody. And I really encourage that healthy respect for the gun because it's a huge responsibility. It's personal responsibility and a community responsibility.
Lynn, tell me what you think about guns in the home.
That's a great question, Emmy. I think it's a question that is so worthy of really in-depth analysis. Take the time to visualize what that looks like for you. Your family is different from my family. And what does that look like in terms of the differences in what our family's goals are and our intended use for those guns. If we're using those guns for personal defense, what does that look like if you've got children in the house? Looks very different. I have grandkids now, but they're in four states away. The placement of my guns may be different than yours. If you've got children in the house, what does that look like? How are you teaching your children that healthy respect for the gun? Do they know where they're stored? Is it in a locked safe? You've got very different considerations for somebody than you do with somebody who doesn't have children in the house. And again, going back to what is your intended purpose? If your intended purpose is personal defense, doesn't do you a whole lot of good if it's locked up in the safe in the garage and you have to get a key at 2 o'clock in the morning to get to it as the bad guy is coming in. Because when seconds count, the cops are only minutes away. So what does that look like? If you've got kids in the house and you need your personal protection gun and that's your intended purpose for that gun, do you have a fingerprint safe by your bed? Where is it stored? Have you taught your children gun safety? As I was growing up, or as my children were growing up, I had such a personal concern and fear about learning about and touching guns that I didn't teach my kids about gun safety. And looking back, it's one of my biggest regrets. And I'm so thankful that nothing happened because they were at friends' houses. And we live in Wyoming. I think that we probably have more guns than we have people living in this state. And to think about all of those homes where my children were visiting, and I hadn't taught them about gun safety. I'm sure I said things like, don't touch a gun, but don't we always want what we can't have? The grass is always greener, and we're always going for those things that are off limits. So looking back, I personally would change things and with my children, take them to gun safety courses and really instill that healthy respect for the gun, that this is real, this is dangerous. It's even if it's a BB gun, it's still, it can be dangerous if used incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So stay away and talk to your parents about it. And if somebody else is handling a gun and you're uncomfortable with that, move out of that situation, go find an adult, a responsible adult, and have them handle the situation before it becomes an issue. And there's such great programs. NRA has an Eddie Eagle program where an instructor gets all dressed up in an eagle costume and comes to the elementary schools and talks about gun safety and how to not touch the gun and respect the gun and move out of the situation and go find a responsible adult. And those are things that I just didn't consider. And looking back, I really wish that I had. Overall, guns in the home, you are responsible for not allowing unauthorized persons to touch your gun, to get a hold of your gun. So what does that look like? Do you have people coming in and out of your home? Do your kids have friends coming over? It's going to be different for each situation. And I just so strongly encourage somebody to look at that situation and evaluate it for themselves. Run through the scenarios in your head. Why do you have your gun? If it's for range time, put it in a safe. Take it out when you go for range time on Saturday morning. If it's for personal defense, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest mistake that you hear about.
Yes.
The accidents that happen with guns in the home.
How heart-wrenching. If it could have been avoided because you locked up your gun differently and worked on that education with the people in your lives, it could have been different.
And what do you teach women in your program that says high caliber women? What do you teach them about gun safety and protecting themselves?
Absolutely. Well, we have a variety of women coming into our courses. Some of the women have fears that they're trying to overcome. Some of the women have past experiences. Maybe their grandpa took them out on the range and when they were 12 with a huge 44 Magnum revolver and it just scared the living daylights out of them. Again, some people are overcoming their fears. Some people have guns in their homes from family members and they simply want to learn how to check that it's clear, that there's no ammunition in the gun and be able to move it safely from one place to the other in their home. Some people are interested in growing their knowledge of personal defense for themselves or for their family. And so we really work to meet each shooter where they are in terms of what their experience level is and what their goals are. Where do they want to go with that? And so we have community-wide courses. We have about 17 this year set up already. And then also we work with women privately. Sometimes a woman may not feel comfortable in a course with other people and may feel her question is stupid and might want to work more on a private level as well.
And so you started the Jackson Hole Shooting Experience with your husband.
Yes.
And then is he also involved in the High Caliber Women, or is that just an all-women's group?
He is. We started the Jackson Hole Shooting Experience 6 years ago now, and we have two major components to the business. The first is serious training. So somebody wants to improve their hunting skills and really train with their pack and their gear that they're going to be using in the field. So if they are a hunter, they're making an ethical shot and one shot, one kill if they're going to harvest an animal. Somebody might want to really develop their personal defense skills with a pistol or a carbine like an AR-15 or shotgunning. Somebody might want to develop their skills and begin to travel for competitions or develop their skills in long-range rifle. The other component of our business is entertainment shooting experiences. And primarily in the summer, this being a traveler's destination, about 95% of what we do is actually host visitors from other areas. When we started the business, we thought our primary demographic would be the Republican rancher in Texas. And we quickly found out that about 80% of our guests have never picked up a gun before in their lives. They are self-described Upper East Coast liberals here in the Wild West. They think, gosh, my friends are never going to have to know. My hotel recommended me. We're number one activity in Jackson Hole on TripAdvisor. Maybe I could do this with my family. And they come out and they give it a shot. And we start off with a 22 caliber rifle, a 22 caliber cartridge that's a very small diameter. So it's fun to learn with, fun to really hone in on the safety and fundamentals of shooting before we get into the larger calibers. And then we move into the 22 caliber pistols. They'll engage in competitions against their personal best times and against other people in their family. And it's a really fun team building experience. And then we work into the larger caliber guns as somebody is interested and confident in their abilities to do so. And they have that goal. And they might shoot World War I battle rifles from around the world and the AK-47 and the AR-15 and long range rifles. We utilize a range which goes out to about 600 yards. And so it's a beautiful outdoor canyon. At the end of 3 hours, people are plastering their pictures all over Facebook and social media, and it really feels as though we're changing the world. We're changing the world in the face of the shooting sports, one positive shooter at a time, because it doesn't have to be all about religion or politics or fear. It can really be fun.
Do you ever change people's minds when they have an anti-gun philosophy?
Yes.
And they come and have an experience and they walk away and they have a changed attitude about it.
Absolutely. We see that changed attitude on a daily basis. Typically, our typical family might be a man who served in the military 20 years ago and he hasn't picked up a gun since. And the wife has never picked up a gun, and they have three teenage kids who might have shot archery or a 22 caliber rifle in summer camp. Inevitably, the family will say, "My wife may not shoot." And she gets out there and she watches for about 10 minutes and she sees the kids laughing at the competitions, and we encourage her to try. And she'll pick up the gun and she just won't be the same. It's fascinating. We see it over and over and over. People have this concern that it has to be about all of that negativity, and it really can just be fun. We have one particular gun called the AR-15, and we actually promote it as the "Honey, I want one of these," because we have so many people have their experience, and in about the first week of November or so, we get this email. "Do you remember that gun that I shot? It was the "Honey, I want one," and now they're getting ready to have it for Christmas.
Oh, that's
incredible. Or to buy it for Christmas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is so interesting. What is your process in teaching women self-defense? How do you in your self-defense classes?
Absolutely. We have armed and unarmed self-defense courses for women. Okay. And in everything that we do, whether it's an entertainment shooting experience or a personal defense class for men, women, or families, I really believe it's about the mindset. Mm-hmm. You have to be in a mindset. You have the knowledge, skills, and attitude necessary to defend yourself. So much of that is your attitude. It's your mindset. It's going into a situation knowing that you're going to come out on the other side. It's just not even an option to do otherwise. And whether that's armed or unarmed, if you have that mindset going into it, you're going to be able to find that will to do anything it takes to protect yourself or your family. And even if you go the course of ultimately having a firearm, carrying it or having it at your bedside or in your home for personal protection, as I do, I still never want to use my gun in self-defense.
No.
Absolutely not. I want to have 427 tools in my toolbox to be able to defend myself. Everything from not putting myself in a situation that's going to get me in trouble in the first place, to being aware of my surroundings, to trusting that sixth sense that I think is so important, because we know when we have that sense that something's wrong, it's by experience. We know, we just don't know why we're having that sense. And I want to be able to use all of those tools in my toolbox before I ever draw my firearm. So it's really important for me to have that mindset and the knowledge, skills, and attitude necessary before that firearm is ever even drawn. But I'm glad I have it as a backup.
Do you work with women who have had a traumatic experience and, you know, help them overcome that trauma?
Yes. It's It can be an intensely personal experience. I had one particular woman come to a community-wide course. And again, we learned all about the parts of the gun, the parts of the ammunition, how it all worked together while we were in the classroom. And she was able to handle the firearm and dummy rounds in the classroom before we went out onto the range. And I could tell there was just some, when we got to that portion, there was something going on. She was shaking as she held it. And I get that. I've been there. And we spoke a little bit off to the side. And she said, you know, I have some things to overcome, but I really want to do this. It's my choice. And I'm here because I want to be. I want to learn. We had lunch. We went out onto the range. She took 5 shots very slowly and controlled, trembling, shaking, and on the verge of tears. And we stepped aside while the other coaches were working with the other ladies in the class and talked about it for a bit. And she said, you know, I'm just at a place where I've got some things in my mind that I need to work through before I can do this. But again, I want to do this. I'm here because I want to work through this. And so she stayed for the rest of the class. She helped the other ladies load their magazine. And she was so supportive and learning along the way. And 2 days later, we met privately on the range. She took another 5 shots and couldn't make it through without the tears again. And we unloaded the gun, locked the slide to the rear, made sure that it was clear. She sat at her bench, and I sat down on the pavement next to her, and we talked for 2 hours. We talked, and we cried, and we laughed, and we cried some more, and we talked some more. And about 2 hours later, she was ready to pick up the gun again. She shot 5 shots straight through the center of the bullseye, straight through, less than a penny size width. And she looked at me and she said, "Ooh, I can do this. Can we shoot some more?" And she was ready. We shot some more. And then she said, "Can I shoot some other guns? Can I try the different sizes and the grips and the calibers? And what does that feel like?" And we shot for another hour and a half. And then she said, "Can I try a rifle?" And so we tried a rifle, and she worked herself up to shooting some longer range rifles. And it was such a perfect experience of, a perfect example of working through what it is in our mind that creates that fear. And some women are coming from a place of fear. Some are coming from a place of just simply not knowing about the gun, and that's what concerns them. There's so many different stories. We all have a story. We all have our life experience. And that, to me, is what is so amazing about what I do. It's just, It's soul fulfilling. This is what I do for my passion.
What kind of training do you have to go through to get to become an instructor and become a counselor?
Well, it depends. As an NRA instructor, I took several student courses and then became an instructor, so taking instructor courses. And there are certain qualifications, both administratively and obviously shooting-wise, that you need to complete. And then I became a training counselor, which means that I'm able to certify people to become NRA instructors who can then teach students. So there's several different levels that you go through the NRA. What I do with the NRA is really less than 1% of what I do year-round on a greater basis as well. So my husband and I have really honed in on a particular style that we like to teach. We have people on our team. We have a team of 16 instructors with us. Some of them are former law enforcement. Some of them travel doing long-range competitions. They travel nationally. Some do local competitions. Some are avid hunters and have been all of their lives. So everybody comes from a little bit different experience. Mm-hmm. And we really work hard to get to know our guest. So who is the shooter? Where are they coming from? What is their experience level? What is their mindset? And what are their goals? Why do they want to come out? Do they want to teach their kids gun safety? Do they want it for personal defense? And then we match them with a coach that's appropriate for them. We have kind of developed this style in the entertainment shooting experience where you still have such a healthy respect for the gun because the safety has to be number one, but that it can be fun too when we're not barking orders at you as you see on some of the reality gun shows on TV or the former military. We just have created a unique style. And so then we certify our team to be working with people, women, families, children, corporate groups, family reunions, to work in that style so that they're not barking the orders. It's more of a one-on-one approach. I've never seen two shooting experiences be the same, ever.
That's great. Earlier, you talked about you had a family come in and they played a game. What kind of game would you play?
Absolutely. So we would set up, say, a metal target at 25 yards, 50 yards, and 75 yards. And we would set them up with the pink rifle, with the scope, and we put them under a timer. And so under that timer, the timer goes beep. They say that they're ready. We press the timer goes beep, and they take their first shot at the 25-yard target, and it goes bing. And then they go to the 50-yard target, and it goes bing. And then they go to the 75-yard target, and it plings. And just there's something about that immediate gratification of a metal target, a reactive target, that's just fun. And whether you are 7 years old or 47 or 97, you want to go back to that 22 caliber pink rifle more than you want to shoot the 308 because it's just fun. Doesn't hurt your shoulders. And the thrill of the competition amongst families, so much fun to see that camaraderie.
Oh, that's great. Have you ever been a hunter? You hunt?
Interestingly, I have never been a hunter until last weekend. I was at our industry trade show about 3 weeks ago. It's called SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and was invited to the Women in the Industry dinner and networking with all of these amazing women that I follow, the competitive shooters nationwide and moms who are encouraging gun safety in their home. And so my people that I look up to, it was like Hollywood for me. I was so excited, and I happened to buy raffle tickets, and I was the winner of a hunting trip, which happened last weekend with the Benelli Women's Pro Shooting Team and their staff. And it was just, it was amazing. It was my first hunt. And it was really concerning to me going into the hunt. I'm not against hunting if it's for using the animal to feed your family. If you go out and sport shoot and leave the animal, I just think that's ethically wrong for me. But if somebody's hunting and they're feeding their family, I respect that. I respected that somebody else was willing to do that for their family. I'd rather go to Smith's and buy it in a bag. And it really was a mindset shift, going back to the mindset of why you are shooting or why anybody is shooting. It was a mindset shift for me in that I really had to get through that. I am going to take the life of an animal. Now, bad guys in front of me and going to harm me or my family, bad guys going down. I will stop that threat. I don't have a concern about that in the respect that the bad guy is ready to do harm for me. I'm ready to stop that threat. But the animal didn't do anything to me. And I was so worried if I was going to be able to take that shot. I blogged about it. I had so many women writing in saying, I feel the same way. I don't know if I could look at that animal who didn't do anything to me and take that shot. And I realized when I was out on the hunt my first morning, everybody else had drawn their gun, taken their three shots. I hadn't even shouldered my gun yet. I had such a mental block against it, and I recognized it. And I started speaking with the other women in my team, and I had a mindset shift. I knew that I was going to be able to clean and take home the animal to feed my family, and that it was going to be so much healthier than an animal that was going to be raised in the farms for dinner to be sold at Smith's. It was a real mindset shift. And I got back out on the range that afternoon, one shot, clean kill, fed my family for the week and have food in my freezer. And it was a real mindset shift for me. It was emotional. I had a huge swing, a roller coaster of emotions before, during, and after. And still I'm reconciling it in the ways that I need to know that it's okay. This is part of the cycle of life.
That's a good way to look at it. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
This is Emmy DeGrappa and Think Why Radio, and I want to say a special thanks to our technical support, Nancy Clancy.